Greetings to you all in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And praise God for the privilege of being back here amongst like-minded brethren, for the privilege and opportunity of ministering across at the recent church camp. And what a blessed time it was. How we give thanks for the ministry that the Lord has established here. And I pray that you may be a people who continue to reach out in love and in truth to those who are outside of the kingdom and to those who are going through all sorts of burdens in their lives. And I bring you greetings from Faith Presbyterian Church in Perth. And we praise God this morning that Pastor Clive Hayden will be preaching from the pulpit. He is an Aboriginal. He is the principal of the Aboriginal Bible College, which I have had the pleasure of lecturing at for the last 6 years. How we give thanks for the ministry that the Lord has raised down in Perth, and we have our 8th anniversary coming up on the 31st of August through to the 2nd of September. And we pray that if any of you are able to come, that you'd be able to. We would love to see you. Reverend Dr. Das Koshy will be speaking, and the title of the weekend will be Missions. And we praise God for the missions of the church here, for the Bible College movement that the Lord is establishing here, and for the your support to the Far Eastern Bible College as well, which is my alumni, but I'm also studying in ministry through the Bible College whilst in ministry now. And I praise God for that privilege as well. And this afternoon I will be flying back to Perth, but I give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for the privilege of being here and having fellowship with our beloved principal and our beloved pastor throughout the last week as well. And I just want to ask you one question before we do start. What is the life verse of our beloved pastor? What is the life verse? If you don't know, it is good that you do know. May the Lord strengthen you. And how we give thanks as well for our Chinese brethren, and Ni Hao Ma to our Chinese brethren who have the interpretation from Brother Ng. May the Lord strengthen each one of you as well. For those of us in the Lord, what a blessing it is. I'd like you to please turn your Bibles this morning as we look at standing on the promises of God to Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, I'd just like to read this verse to you and then we'll look to the Lord in prayer. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." May the Lord add his richest blessing to this reading. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for the truth of thy word, which is inspired, divinely inspired, plenarily inspired, inerrant, infallible, and unchangeable, the final authority to our life and actions. And we give thanks for the perfection of its preservation. And Lord, we give thanks for its promises, for both its prophecies and its promises. And pray, Lord, that if there be any outside of thy kingdom here today, that today may be the day of their salvation. We do pray for those who may have burdened hearts at this time as well. Whatever their burden may be, we do commit them to thee. We pray for those who may be going through the loss of a loved one, that their hearts may be comforted by thee. We give thanks for the balm, Lord, the anointing balm, the balm of thy word. And we pray that our brethren who are going through trials be comforted, be encouraged. For those who may be going through a relationship difficulty, oh Lord, how we pray at this time that they be comforted as well, and that each one of us may look unto thee, the author and finisher of our faith, knowing that thou art a God who is able to restore things. We give thanks for the precious promises, for those who may be going through a financial difficulty, a difficulty at work, a difficulty with studies, a difficulty at work. Lord, we do pray that each one may look to thee at this time. Whatever trial we may be going through, at this point in time, I pray, Lord, that our trust may be in thee, that we may stand on the precious promises of thy word. And Lord, we do confess our sin before thee, knowing that thou art a God who is able and just to forgive. Lord, we do pray for our known sin, for our unknown sin, where we may have offended somebody without knowing it. Lord, I do pray as well that we may confess any deep-seated sin that may be hidden within the inner recesses of our heart that nobody else knows of. For we know that thou art a God who has an intimate relationship with us and knows every thought that is within our minds. Lord, how I do pray that if there is anybody on the verge of moving in to that which is disobedient to thy word, where they will suffer the consequences, we pray, Lord, that this be a time when they stop, they reflect on thy goodness and withdraw from those things, even the appearance of evil, not just the evil itself. May each one of us be strengthened, and we give thanks for our beloved pastor, our beloved principal, and we pray, Lord, for thy healing hand upon him, thy strengthening hand upon him, and that he may continue to serve thee for many days ahead. Lord, how we give thanks for the church that thou hast established here, for the Far Eastern Bible College as well, and for the ministry. We give thanks for the salvation of the children, even up at the church camp, and for those who have returned to thee. And Lord, how we give thanks for the evangelism going out from this premises, from the church. Oh Lord, we pray that each willing person be blessed accordingly. And Lord, we do pray for those who are going through some transitions in life, even seeking other employment, praying about employment. We pray, Lord, that these things be answered according to thy will and to the glory and honor of thy name. So we commit these things to thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 11 speaks about the word of God, the word of God which goes forth and will not return unto the Lord void. How we give thanks for Isaiah. Isaiah is a well-known prophet, major prophet of the Old Testament. And praise God for the ministry that the Lord had him in. A little reluctant maybe, but in the end, when the Lord did seek who would go, then he responded. He responded to the Lord. And how we give thanks for that which was mentioned by Isaiah throughout the complete book of Isaiah. The prophecies, the warnings, the woes which were given to the people as Judah was in the throes of turning from God. Then God raised a man to challenge them to look unto him. And it's very interesting just to note as well that as Isaiah did commence his ministry, he dates his calling to the time of Uzziah. And Uzziah was a king. He was a king who did something which he should not have done. And because of that which he did, he spent 10 years basically in exile. And what was that thing which he did? Uzziah, the king, at the time that Isaiah was appointed as a prophet, as a servant of God, Uzziah usurped the priesthood. Interesting, isn't it? And what did he suffer? He suffered the punishment, even of leprosy. Excuse me. He suffered leprosy. 10 years in exile. For what? Usurping the priesthood. May we be a people who understand the work of God, the ministry of God, and a people who love the Lord and are able to take on the challenges. This morning, just like to mention to you about the promises of God. Now, let us understand that there are many prophecies in God's word. There are many promises in God's word. All prophecies are promises. But not all promises are prophecies. Not all promises are prophecies. And we're going to look at some promises today even through, and we see here there is a promise. This is the major one we're looking at today, in that the Lord's word will not return void. We need to be a people who continue to reach out. Once again, praise God for the salvation of the children, even at the church camp. What a blessing, what a heart the parents must have, a loving heart, a thankful heart for these children who came to know the Lord throughout the church camp. The word of God is divinely inspired, and we can see that its unity, its harmony, in that God chose some, as he is the author, he is the divine author of the scriptures that we do have. He also appointed some 40 human men to write for him, whom he did anoint, whom he did give the inspiration to. So these willing servants who were given the inspiration of God did pen. God allowed them to use their characters to come through as well. But it spanned over 1,600 years, some 1,600 years. The unity in God's word is just absolutely amazing. And what is it basically speaking about? What is the purpose of God's word? It is to draw people unto salvation. It is speaking about salvation. And what we're going to see today is this is what Isaiah is drawing the people to as well. We need to be a people who rightly divide the word of God. And I'd like to read to you from 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 16. And the word of God speaks about those who would distort the word for their own benefit. The word of God says, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some hard things, some things hard to be understood, but which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Let us not be a people who take the word of God out of context, lest it be to our own destruction. And so this morning, the first point is the power of God's word. The power of God's word to convict us of our sin. The power of God's word to change us. Now, the power of God's word is that which God did use to even create the universe, to create man. We know that on the first day of creation, on day one, God created the heaven and the earth. On day one, the heaven and the earth that we do dwell in, is not an earth that is old. And praise God for those who stand on the truth of God's word, believing that it is a young earth. It is only a matter of a few thousand years old. Man is going about quickly to destroy it. But God created the heaven and earth on day one. And he also on day one created light. On day two, the word that God, through the word, through the power of his word, created the firmament, which was that vast expanse of water which was dividing the heavens from the earth. Then on day three, God, through the power of his word, created even the seas, the land, and vegetation. And then on day four, God, through the power of his word, created the heavenly bodies. Then we see on day five, the fifth day, God, through the power of his word, created animal life of the sea and the air. And on day six, through the power of his word, the power of God's word, he created firstly animals and then secondly us as human beings through the power of his word. We know the glory of God was manifested. We know that in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1, we see that God and the word are the same thing. That God and the word are the same thing. The power of God, the word which was the power of God which created. In John chapter 1 and verse 14, we see, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This was the incarnation of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. And so as God spoke, the Word created, and the Word was Jesus Christ. You see, Isaiah is going to speak about the King of Kings as well, the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, who created, who was involved in the creation, who is the Word, the only begotten Son of God. And so sending forth the Word of God is that which we as a church need to be doing. And praise God for your evangelistic efforts and for those of you who have reached out. And I do challenge you, have any of you throughout this year, through the 5+ months of this year, have any of you reached out to invite somebody along to even fellowship, that they may experience the love and the truth of God, that they may hear the truth of God's word, that even convert souls unto salvation? I do ask you, have you invited anyone along? If you haven't, I do pray that you will do so. You see, you are a people here who have the truth, and praise God for that. We need to be a people who are zealous for that truth, not a people who become tongue-tied when our God is mocked, but a people who will defend his word, but a people who will reach out as well, that peradventure some soul may be saved. The sending forth of the word. And as the word goes forth, please understand, it will not go forth void, for God has made that promise. You see, there are some promises that are conditional. There is a condition upon them. There are some promises that are unconditional. And I give thanks for the opportunity over these last months to be developing some 91 articles on the promises of God, and being a desire to get through some 365 promises of God. Here is a precious promise of God, that his word will not return void. If you invite somebody along and they're offended by God's word, it is not for you to be overly burdened about that, but give thanks that they came along. If you do invite somebody along and they refuse, don't be despondent. Continue to reach out. Continue to pray. For you have a blessing in the truth of God's word within you, and for the truth of God's word being expounded so faithfully at the Far Eastern Bible College as well. May you continue to uphold the ministry in prayer. For the solemn promises of God, he is faithful and just to fulfill. Establishing the promises as well. There are those people who do mention that the Word of God has some 30,000 promises within. Knowing that there are some 30,173 verses in God's Word, there are some that say the Bible has 30-odd thousand. There are others who deny that and say that, no, there's only some 8,000 Bible verses. There are those people who come from certain backgrounds who employ eisegesis, which is taking the Word of God out of context, and say that every Bible verse is that which we need to apply to our lives, apply in the fact that they are promises to us. Now, folk, I would just like to mention to you the danger of doing that. There are some promises which were just given to Israel. So we need to know who the promises were given to, for what reason and what were the circumstances. But please understand this as well, that although some promises are not directly applied to us, we can draw principles from them, but we must use the analogy of Scripture in that Scripture interprets Scripture. Otherwise, we will employ that which is wrongfully done to our own destruction. May we understand that God's Word, as we search through it, needs to be applied correctly to our lives. The power of God's Word. God created through his word, and shortly we'll just look at some of these promises which are unto salvation. and the promises that we can claim who are in the Lord. And for those of you who may be outside of the Lord even this day, we give thanks for each one of you even being in the presence of God, and pray that as friends of the church, you may come to know Jesus Christ even this day. It is good for us to understand that we need to trust in God's word. So the first point was the power of God's word. The second point is trusting in God's word. Jesus Christ said this in John chapter 20 in verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. How we give thanks for all who are in the Lord. For those of us who have had loved ones who have gone to be with the Lord, please understand they are in a much better place. And how we give thanks for the opportunity for us to be with the Lord one day. There are some folk who think that the time of drawing our last breath is some great damnation upon a person. For those of us in the Lord, it is a blessing, because it is a homegoing. And as was mentioned just throughout the camp in this last week, the angels are there to guide the soul spirit of our loved ones to be with the Lord, and how we look forward to the time of being reunited with them. How we give thanks to God for that, knowing that they are safe in the arms of Jesus, and that they walked by faith and not by sight. How we give thanks for the gift of salvation. So the blessed promises are there to encourage us. They are there to instruct us. They are there to guide us. They are there to comfort us. They also give us some challenges as well. But there is the encouragement during the times of failing. There is the encouragement during the times of disappointments that we go through in life. And if we claim these promises, we will be blessed. I just want to read to you an article from Dwight L. Moody, and it's speaking on the promises of God. And he says this: take the promises of God. Let a man feed for a month on these promises of God. So let a man feed for a month on these promises of God. And he will not talk about how poor he is. He will not talk about how poor he is if he dwells on the promises of God for a month. You hear people say, "Oh, my leanness, how lean I am." It is not their leanness, it is their laziness. If you would only read from Genesis to Revelation and see all the promises made by God to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, and to all his people everywhere, if you will spend a month feeding on the precious promises of God, you wouldn't be going about complaining how poor you are. You would lift up your head and proclaim the riches of his grace, because you couldn't help doing it. May we be a people who read the word of God, who claim the precious promises. As we go through the claiming of the promises, there needs to be a faith developed in us. And we know that with the children of Israel, they saw the mighty hand of God at work. They saw the 10 plagues upon the Pharaoh, some of which the Pharaoh's magicians could duplicate in the sense of deception. And then they could deceive no longer. And the mighty hand of God was that which came down upon the people, because of their rejection of the things of God. But the children of Israel, after they had left, they saw the 600 elite soldiers, charioteers, even of the Pharaoh, destroyed, drowned. They saw God guiding them. The first place that God guided them to as they were heading off to Mount Sinai. God sent them that way because he knew that if he took the shortcut to the promised land, they would be a people who would give up very easily because of the might of the other armies, and so sent them down towards Mount Sinai. And praise God for those of us who were together over in Egypt and in Israel doing that Mount Sinai route. And as we went underneath the Suez Canal, and once we got to the other side, we headed down towards Mount Sinai. Well, the first place that the children of Israel rested at was Meribah, and the water was bitter. You see, they saw the hand of God, and yet when they arrived some few days after, and then they complained, they murmured. God was using this to test their faith. And sometimes when we first come to the Lord, there will be the challenges that we will go through, and we may just start to murmur, forgetting that we just saw the mighty hand of God working salvation within us. It is so easy for us to complain, to murmur. This is the testing of our faith, to see how we will respond. And then to Elam, there was a good supply of water. May we understand that our faith will be tested as well. And may we grow in grace, in the love of God, and may we grow in faith. May it develop for us continually. May we look unto the Lord and continue to trust in Him. Well, as we look in the book of Isaiah, we see that there are many things that Isaiah did observe and that he did learn. And as he was, as he saw God sitting upon the throne with Isaiah's vision and his commission, as Isaiah was commissioned, he saw the Lord sitting upon the throne. He saw the seraphim as well, and he saw, which is a literal translation of burning ones, he saw these things, and he witnessed the holy, 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 which was proclaimed. The thrice holy God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And praise God for the true God that they even understood in the Old Testament. For those people who do sing and add the fourth holy, may they be a people who are challenged by God even to their own destruction. Please understand that Mary is not the fourth holy. Holy, holy, holy is the thrice holy God. There is the confession of Isaiah as well. He realized that he was a sinful man as he stood before God. Woe unto me. He recognized the sinfulness of his condition. And folk, I pray that we may understand the sinfulness of our condition as well. That we may be a people who even reflect on the impurity of our hearts most often. May we be a people who are cautious of the places that we go to, cautious of the things that we do, cautious of the things that we say. But praise God for those of you who are blessed testimonies in your workplace, for those of you who are blessed testimonies in your own home, are a blessed testimony in your church. May the Lord strengthen you, and may you continue to look unto the Lord. Isaiah said, I am undone. I am undone, which was a statement of his understanding that he was self-condemned. It was a self-condemnation that he put upon himself, and he was speechless. He was speechless, as if saying, I am dead. I am a dead man. It is a picture of the unregenerate man. And praise God for the day of salvation which came upon each of us who believe in the Lord. When it came to Isaiah, what were the things that he did mention in the Old Testament time, in the book of Isaiah? He saw and mentioned about the virgin birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. These were prophecies that were fulfilled. They were promises as well that were fulfilled. The virgin birth of Jesus Christ. He saw the forerunner. He saw the ministry of Jesus Christ in Galilee. The deity of Jesus Christ and the eternal throne, the preaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the miracles that he performed, his determination, his rejection, his vicarious sufferings, and how he praised God for Isaiah chapter 53, which is the classic chapter of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, and speaks about salvation. You see, folks, salvation was mentioned right throughout the Old Testament, as in the New Testament times as well. And that's why we have the book of Hebrews, and especially the chapter on faith being Hebrews 11. These were folk in the Old Testament who believed, who by faith believed. Rahab, remember, was a prostitute. Who was her son? Rahab was a prostitute. You see, she was forgiven of her sin. And praise God for his goodness to us. For the backgrounds which we have come from, folk, no matter what your background, God is able and just to forgive if you will confess your sin before him. Then your burdens will be lifted. It does not mean that you will walk a smooth road from there on in. Nobody has ever promised that. Yes, there are those that promise that. But we cannot promise that. For as we walk faithfully with God, we will have the challenges. We will have the burdens, but we have a God who loves each one of us. And please understand that every last drop of the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for the remission of each one of our sins. None barred, for each one of our sins. The humility of Jesus Christ going as to the cross as a lamb to slaughter. The burial in a rich man's tomb. The justification of many. His ministry to the Gentiles saw Jesus Christ as the branch, even of the Lord, that he was Emmanuel, God is with us, that he was the stumbling stone, the mighty God, all in the book of Isaiah, the everlasting Father, the inheritor of David's throne, the sure cornerstone, the good shepherd, the righteous servant. We know that when Isaiah was called, he said, "Lord, here I am, send me." Because the Lord put the question of, "Who shall I send?" He was willing, he was a willing servant to go forth, to suffer that which he had to suffer. You see, when it comes to salvation and the things of God, God's thoughts are higher than ours. I'd just like to read to you a few verses from Isaiah chapter 55. Now we see to start off with that there is an invitation. And this invitation is unto salvation. Isaiah 55 and verse 1. And for those who have the inscription above, you will see it reads, a free offer of mercy to all. To all, barring none. Isaiah 55 verse 1 says, "Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price." Now please do not think that this wine is an alcoholic wine. This is speaking spiritually of coming unto the Lord. There is an invitation of salvation. The word of God in Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." The things of salvation are difficult for us to comprehend. In fact, they're impossible for us to comprehend. The way that God operates, we are not able to comprehend. We can know God, but we cannot know all of his thoughts and the way that he works in all the ways that he does. But praise God for the fact that we can know God. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Verse 10 says, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater." We see here the snow that's coming down, the water that's coming down. God sends the rain upon the just and the unjust. And we see that there is a springing forth. And so at the time of spring, out comes all the fruit, out come the flowers. We see that they have been watered by the rains of winter, by the snow as well, and that rain falls on every patch of land that is exposed to the elements, and so does the snow, as the rain falls on the just and the unjust. But we see the springing forth there, and so with the Word of God, as the Word of God goes forth, so it brings forth, the buds do open up. Now remember at the time when Moses and Aaron were challenged of their leadership, and there then was the request for them, for the leaders of each tribe, to bring forth a rod. And these rods were dead wood, and as they brought them forth, the names of each tribe was written upon each rod. And we know that out of the dead wood of Aaron, it did bud, it sprang forth life sprang forth from it. And how we praise God that life springs forth in our lives. When we reflect back on the types of people that we were before we came to the Lord, the question is, have we changed since coming to the Lord? Have we changed? You know, when it comes to pastors being attacked, sometimes and quite often, those who attack those who are faithfully in ministry are usually those with the most wicked sin. A lot of people got a lot of repenting to do. You see in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament time, when Saul could not wait any longer for Samuel to turn up for the sacrifice, he took over. Consequences. There are consequences for doing such thing. But we have to reflect on, what were we like before we sprang to life, before the springtime set upon us and our natures were changed at the time of our conversion? After we came to the Lord, were we a different person? After we came. Before, what was our character like? Oh, when we look back at our characters beforehand, praise God for salvation. But you know, there are some people who just haven't changed. And if they haven't changed, it's good for them to really reflect on their hearts, as Isaiah did. He thought he was a man undone. May we be challenged this day to reflect on what it is that is within our hearts. You see, as the Word of God goes forth, so will life spring forth. And it is our prayer that life may spring forth this day, and even as you go out to evangelize, that you may not be afraid, that you may not be offended because somebody rejects you. Please remember that if you are doing the faithful Word of God, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting God. You continue on, you trust God, you do not be discouraged. You give thanks when somebody will stop and read a tract. And remember in Thailand, there was, when they were tracting up in Thailand, at one point in time, there was the story that one of the FEBC students did tell of a professor who was walking past a rubbish bin, and this professor was disposing of some rubbish in the bin and saw something in there and pulled it out and read it and read a gospel tract and was convicted of her sin and confessed Jesus Christ as her personal Lord and Savior from removing a gospel tract from the rubbish bin. I praise God for the times that we had of a Wednesday evangelism at the Bible College, a joyous time. But for those people who refuse to go out, you see, as Bible College students, we should not be refusing to go out, we should be wanting to go out. For those who refuse to go out, there was never a blessing. And you'll notice that they're not blessed even after graduating from the Bible College either. May we be a people who love God and are not ashamed of the gospel, but reach out in love and in truth. I asked you this morning, what is the life verse of our beloved pastor, our beloved principal? Do you know? Is it in the Old Testament? Is it in the New Testament? The answer is, it is in the New Testament. What book does it come from? Is it from a gospel or an epistle? It is from a gospel. That narrows it down. We've only got one of four to choose from. Well, it's the Gospel of Mark. And the chapter is chapter 8. I'd like you just please turn to Mark chapter 8. And specifically to verse 36, which is our beloved pastor and principal's life verse, which he continued to convey to us whilst we were students at the Far Eastern Bible College. And the Word of God says this, and may this be a challenge to us today as well. The Word of God says, "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" That is our beloved pastor's life verse. That is the one that he holds dear to his heart. He loves many other verses. He loves the Word of God. "For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" If in life our ambition is that which is foremost in our minds, and God is secondary, in fact God may not even be secondary, he may be a little lower on the run than secondary, then we have some reflecting to do upon our lives. We need to be a people who are thankful to God. That does not mean that you can't work in the workforce, in the community. You must be doing these things. But it is being a witness and putting God first, even on those occasions. And that may mean not going to where some of the people go, not doing some of the things that the people do. Setting aside the Sabbath day, that we not violate the Sabbath day, but are people who love the Lord and reach out in love and in truth. For there are those people who will gain so much. And in the end, you know, you may look at the wealth that some of your neighbours have, but you don't necessarily see the heartaches that they have, the difficulties that they may have and experience within their lives. They may be looking at you if you are a person who has nowhere near as much as them. And they may see something in you that they desire. But because you may be so content about being covetous of the things that they have, it can affect your walk with the Lord. May the Lord strengthen you. May you reach out to them. May we reach out in love and in truth. In the New Testament, there are many promises. I'd just like to read some of these promises as we do conclude. But I do ask you this question. What is your life verse? What is the verse that you hold dearest to in life? Do you have one? If you don't, then it is good for you to have one. One of my life verse since all the trials we have been through is Romans 8:28. That all things work together for good. And that's because of for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. They will work for good even though it hurts us, it burdens us. If we make the right stances for God, we will get through and these things will work together for good. And so just some promises just to reflect on at this time. Please turn in your Bibles to John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a promise. This is a promise to God. And these are the words of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The words of Jesus Christ, the promise here, is for those of you who believe in him, you will have everlasting life. And praise God for that. Let us not be a people who fear our departure from this world. It is a departure, and our soul, spirit will be reunited with our bodies at the appointed time that God has, and it's not going to be too far away. May we understand that morality is not gauged by the community, is not gauged by society. Morality is gauged by the truth of God's word. It is the standard that we do have. And so, like you to please then remember John 3:16. It's a familiar one to us, but just turn back a little, please, to John chapter 1, verse 12. And this speaks about those who believe being God's children. And John chapter 1 and verse 12 is a promise. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Let us be a people who understand as well that God will save. But there is something that we need to understand before this salvation comes about, and that is sin. And please remember Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Verse 11 says, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. So we are all sinners. But praise God for the fact that we can confess our sin before God, for he is able and just to forgive. May we reflect on the Lord this day. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says as well, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is not one of us who has not sinned. Each one of us has sinned. Were we proud of the things that we did before we came to the Lord? No. Is there anybody here who has not made a mistake in the past? No. We have all made mistakes. But if we are in the Lord, may we be a people who claim his promises. And for those of you who are outside of the Lord, our prayer is for you even this day. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. May today be the day of salvation for some. I sat in a church for many years thinking that I was a Christian. And then one day I was sitting in church again. And the word convicted my heart. And I repented of my sin before God, thinking that I was in society a leader. I was considered as a moral person in society. You know, and what avails to what? I was a sinner. I was a wretched sinner. Even as the Apostle Paul mentions about his wretchedness of sin. But God turned his heart around. And that which he did against God, he used the zeal to use for God. Sometimes when we come to the Lord, it is easy for us not to have the zeal that we had before we came to the Lord. But we need to be a people whose lives are changed. I didn't know what this confessing sin before God was because I sat there. Some of you may be sitting here even at this time. You may be convicted of your sin. You may believe there is a God. You may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he was born of a virgin birth, that he ministered on earth and the miracles were to authenticate his ministry, and that he went to the cross, his every last drop of blood shed for the remission of our sins, and that he rose again on the third day. He ascended to heaven and he promised that he will come again. Promise, he's coming again. Let us claim these promises. Let us be prepared for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ returning. For the word of God in Isaiah mentions, the Lord's word will not return void. May we be strengthened even this day. And so I was, what is this that you're talking about? How do I confess Jesus Christ? And then a pastor led me in prayer to confess my sin before God and confess Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. It doesn't have to be a pastor. You can go to a leader in the church. You can lead somebody to the Lord yourselves. I ask you, have you ever had the opportunity, the privilege of leading somebody to the Lord yourselves? If you're equipped in the Word of God and the folk understand that they are sinners, that they cannot save themselves, and that worshipping other gods is what our forefathers did do, which was proclaimed by the Word of God as being horribly wrong. May we be a people who have this peace. How then do you confess your sin? I'd like you to please turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, just as we conclude. And the Word of God says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. May we be a people who understand that Isaiah was a man whom God had called. To start off with, he saw a person usurping the ministry and suffering the consequences of it. Let us understand that all prophecies are promises, but not all promises are prophecies. That some prophecies are conditional, others are unconditional. That some promises and prophecies will have a negative outcome, but most have a positive outcome. May we understand that God does have a wrath, and may we not inflame the wrath of God. Isaiah saw God sitting on the throne, recognized his wretchedness, but as the word of God says, his word will not return to us void. Let us pray. Lord, our loving and heavenly Father, we give thanks for the precious promises that thou has even granted unto us and to thy people. We give thanks for the first 39 verses in the book of Isaiah being thy judgment with the woes attached. But for the final verses from final chapter, from chapter 40 to 66, being the promises of salvation and the comfort, even the comfort that thy word will not return void, but it shall accomplish that which thou is pleased and which thou pleases, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto thou didst send it. I pray, Lord, that we may be a people today who understand our wretchedness and who understand that Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ, was shed for the remission of our sins. May we hide the truth of thy word deep within our hearts, claim his precious promises, and for those who are burdened at this time, whatever your burden may be, we pray that the compassion, the love, the care of God, his healing balm be upon you, that you be restored even to unto him if you have wandered from him, and pray that today be the day that you rededicate your lives to him. Lord, we give thanks for the precious promises, and may we claim them. May we stand upon them. And as we do sing, finally, standing on the promises of God, I pray, Lord, that we may hide them in our heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.